President Donald Trump is expected to announce his first Supreme Court nomination tomorrow night. The nominee will likely come from a list of conservative judges and lawyers identified by his transition team earlier this month. Some Democrats are already saying they'll block Trump's pick. Of course, there's almost always some resistance to any Supreme Court nominee, even legendary ones. Take, for example, the late Justice Thurgood Marshall, the first black justice on the high court, and the man who argued Brown v. Board, the case that desegregated American schools. 11 senators voted against his confirmation in 1967, most of them Democrats from the Deep South. Marshall retired from the court in 1991. He was 83, and at his retirement announcement, a reporter asked the justice whether he thought Martin Luther King's famous line, "Free at last, thank God Almighty we are free at last rang true for him.
Well, I'm not free. All I know is that years ago, when I was a youngster, a Pullman porter told me that he had been in every city in this country, he was sure, and he had never been in any city in the United States where he had to put his hand up in front of his face to find out he was a Negro. I agree with it.
That's the late Justice Thurgood Marshall in 1991, and this is the Marshall we meet at the beginning of the one-man play Thurgood. It's on now at the New Repertory Theater in Watertown, Massachusetts, and I recently spoke with playwright George Stevens Jr. and actor Johnny Lee Davenport, and I began by asking Davenport what it means to him to be performing this show now.
Well, this is my first one-man show, and to, first of all, George, Mr. Stevens, thank you for this opportunity to say these words and to tell this story in the way that you've written it. It's fantastic. I really, really want to say thank you. And I have to say my wife is a big fan.
But, oh, that is great.
But to tell this story and to realize how relative it is right now is just mind-boggling. The connections that are made. For instance, our new president may have the opportunity to appoint 4 Supreme Court justices during his first 4 years, and in the play you find out that Nixon did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just phenomenal.
George Stevens Jr., let me ask you, Thurgood premiered on Broadway back in 2008, and I believe its first performances happened even before Barack Obama began his first term. So what inspired you to write a one-man play about Thurgood Marshall?
I had, years before, directed and written a mini-series for television called Separate But Equal that was the story of Brown versus the Board of Education, and Sidney Poitier played Thurgood Marshall. And some years after that, I was having dinner with Sidney and his wife Joanna and my wife Liz in Los Angeles, and I asked Sidney what he was up to. And Sidney, in that rather stately way of his, said, "It has been 40 years since I did Raisin in the Sun. I want to go back to Broadway." And I don't know where it came from, but I said, "Well, why don't I write a play about Thurgood Marshall?" And I sentenced myself. And then about 8 months later, I gave it to him in Sydney. We had lived in the same building and had apartments in Los Angeles. And Sydney would come down and read it and said, "I'm moving into a house and I'm going to learn the play." And a little while later, he invited me up for lunch. And he said, "I am 75 years old. I cannot learn your play." So that provided an opportunity for many fine actors.
Yeah. Well, and one of them who's sitting across the table from me here now, today, I mean, so you mentioned Brown versus Board. Of course, that is the 1954 ruling that desegregated American schools, the landmark case that most people may remember Justice Marshall for. But, I mean, he was obviously a very powerful legal figure for the NAACP even before that. I mean, Johnny Lee Davenport, tell me, how do you get into the mind, the rhythm of a man like Thurgood Marshall on stage?
The words are there. And all I have to do is honor the language, honor the words. What I've learned is that Thurgood had such an immense wit and intellect and sense of humor. And so from this play that is full of facts and full of dates and full of, I'll call it, legalese, it's distilled down to a man who has gone through so many changes in his life, who has confronted so many obstacles to forward his passion.
Yeah.
It starts out where he's able to watch Negro prisoners being beaten in a Northwest Baltimore police station. And that has stayed with him. And he says at the end, that is why I've done everything in my power to protect the civil rights of every American citizen. Hmm. And this passion, he wouldn't let go of this burning fire. But I endeavor to bring the humanity of the man, and it's not hard because the words are there,
mm-hmm.
and it's inherent in the speech, and I honor language. I love language,
yeah.
And the words I get to say are just brilliant.
Well, George,
that sense of humor of Thurgood is a blessing, isn't it, Mr. Davenport?
It certainly is.
Well, George Stevens, tell us more about that, because I think, you know, people obviously remember Marshall for his legal victories, but his life away from the court is also part of the play. How did you weave that in?
Well, there's a great deal of a record around of his, you know, his what he's said over the years, and you know, weaving that together. You know, I think one reason for me wanting to do the play was I have great respect for Dr. King and all that he achieved and what he went through to achieve it, but I felt that Thurgood is under-recognized in that area, because without Thurgood Marshall, there is no Dr. King, because
right.
Thurgood Marshall was the architect, as he used to say, using the law like a weapon.
I want to play one more piece of tape from Justice Marshall himself, actually. This is from 1988, and he spoke to a group called the Judicial Council. They had given him a ward. And really, you hear his passion, which never waned, of continuing the efforts of the civil rights movement.
We claim that we have made great advances. A lot of people do. I mean, I'm in the group that doesn't believe that. And some of you might not want to hear what I have to say about the problems that still remain. Why, when you get in high office, you do that? Well, I'll tell you why. As long as I've got breath, I am going to say it. And I'm going to repeat it over and over again.
It's Justice Thurgood Marshall speaking in 1988. Johnny Lee Davenport, this play is being performed at a very pivotal moment in the American story. And I'm wondering if you could talk to us about I feel a sense of optimism in the play near the end that may be particularly moving to audiences now.
Yeah, I'd like to do the final poem by Langston Hughes, some of that.
Yeah.
And it'll give you an indication of the hope that is built into the play. It is a play that has hope built into it.
Because Marshall and Langston Hughes knew each other.
They were school, yes. They went to Lincoln College together. Oh, let America be America again. The land that never has been yet and yet must be. The land where every man is free. The land that is mine. The poor man's, Indians, Negroes, me, whose sweat and blood, whose faith and pain must bring back our mighty dream again. Oh, yes, I say it plain. America never was America to me. And yet, I swear this oath, America will be.
Johnny Lee Davenport performing a poem by Langston Hughes, which closes the one-man play Thurgood. We also spoke with playwright George Stevens Jr.